Thanks very much, Linda. Well, the passage I want to look at today is one that really resonates with me. It resonates through the times when life is going well and I'm making good progress in life. And I'm seeing some great things happen, but it also resonates with me when things are going really tough or difficult, or where things might seem impossible. And you wonder in those times, how are you going to get through the situation that you're currently facing? And, you know, I firmly believe that we as the people of God need to be a people that are moving forward, to be moving forward in faith, moving forward for what God has for us, and moving forward in seeking out and knowing our incredible God more. Now, if your faith journey simply exists with you coming to church on a Sunday and then going home after the service and that is it, then let me tell you, that's not much of a faith at all. You will not move forward in that faith. But in order for us to move forward, we actually need to stop. We need to open up the Word of God ourselves. We need to read the Scriptures, meditate upon them, seek to listen to the voice of God and to change in the way that God is calling us to change as His people. And then we need to step out in faith, because our God does call us to step out in faith. And so I encourage you today, when you go home, open up Joshua, read the first 7 chapters of Joshua at least, just in one sitting, it won't take you that long. Reflect upon them, ask God to speak to you through them, and see how God might be calling you to step out in faith as a response to those words that He's written down for us. I love the book of Joshua. God has the Israelites on this great journey of faith. It seems like every single step they make is a journey of faith. They're walking forward into somewhat uncharted territory, but they're also stepping forward into God's promises, which is really exciting for them. Well, today I want us to look at chapter 6 a bit, which is about the fall of Jericho. It's a passage that's probably quite familiar for many of you. But if you're familiar with the previous chapters in the book of Joshua to this point, then you'll know that as the Israelites were seeking to fulfill the promises that God had given them, and to take the land that He had laid out for them as He was re-establishing them as His people, they saw challenge upon challenge upon challenge through every step they took. But all through that, all through the challenges that came up, God was always proving Himself to be ever so faithful, and He helped them overcome every challenge. But then we get to chapter 6, and they're presented with yet another challenge. The challenge is how to deal with a heavily fortified city with the people ready to defend. But God is telling them to go and to take that land. And so today I want us to look at facing impossible barriers, or what looks like impossible barriers, because if we're going to move forward in life as individuals, even as a church here, then there will be new challenges that we will face along the way, and change will only come if we're able to overcome those challenges with God's help. But before we get stuck into this passage, let us pray together. Father God, we thank You for Your words here in Joshua chapter 6. We pray that You will open up our hearts and minds to hear what You want to speak to us today. Challenge us, speak to us, and help us to walk out of here as people different, because we've encountered Your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you spend enough time getting to know me, then you'll probably learn pretty quickly that I like movies. In particular, I like action movies. You see, for me, there's this great thrill about an action movie. And in many action movies, more often than not, the good guy or the good girl ends up in a situation which seems like it's impossible for them to get out of. But you know, like Hollywood does, they always find some way to get out of their impossible situation. And in fact, it spawned a whole series of impossible movies. You might have seen some of them. Mission Impossible. You know, I reckon the movie Speed is one of those movies where the impossible certainly does happen. In the movie, a man has placed a bomb on a bus full of people that are going about their day, some going to work, some going home, wherever they might be going. And the thing about this bomb is that once it's armed, if the bus drops below a certain speed, the bomb is designed to go off automatically. And so when they realize this bomb is on there, they realize that they've got to keep driving the bus fast or otherwise kaboom. And it goes well, it goes all right for a while they're trying to figure out what they're going to do long term, because just continuing to drive a bus is not a good long term strategy. But whilst they're going along, they end up getting into some traffic. Perhaps they were on a road similar to the M2 in peak hour. And so they realize that they can't keep going at the speed they need to in order to stop that bomb going off. And so they have to turn off the road. But then there's a bit of a problem up ahead, because they turn off onto a road that is still under construction. It is a road that is heavily elevated. It's a bridge. But then up ahead, they realize that it isn't complete. There is quite a significant gap in that bridge, in that road. But they can't stop, because otherwise, kaboom. They can't turn around because they drop too much speed off, because you can't turn a bus at high speeds. And so Keanu Reeves' character decides there is only one thing they can do. And so they accelerate the bus. They go as fast as they possibly can. And as they reach the end of that section of road that is completed, the bus launches, certainly it's miraculously, through the air. And then they safely land on the other side and they're able to continue their harrowing journey. It is impossible, but Hollywood can make the impossible happen, can they not? But you know, sometimes in life we might face what seem like impossible barriers. Hopefully you haven't been in a similar situation than that in speed. But there's times where we've wondered, how are we going to get through our situation that we're going through? You know, I know for me, I've been through times in life where I've wondered how I'm going to get through my current situation. I've had times where anxiety has overtaken me. I've had times when I've struggled to have hope, or even times where the task in front of me just seems simply too hard. You know, when we go through situations like that, we wonder to ourselves, well, how are we going to deal with this change that is happening to me? How can I try and gain some sense of control over my situation? It's hard. But you know, as we turn to the book of Joshua, I can imagine that perhaps the Israelites felt some of that pain and that struggle at times too, throughout their journey as they try and take hold of God's promises. But particularly when they came near to Jericho, when they laid their eyes upon it. Verse 1 says this: "Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in." As you go home today and you read the first few chapters of Joshua, you realize that by this stage, God had already made it clear to the Israelites that taking Jericho was part of his plan for change. He had told them to get ready. He had given them instructions on how to set off on this journey, and he even helped them to cross the River Jordan, a great miracle that God does in parting the seas so they can walk through on dry ground, similar to Exodus 14. But when they arrive near the city of Jericho, they see that their gates were locked. They were secured tight. And what does it say was the reason for them being secured so tightly? It says it was because of the Israelites. You see, the Israelites were coming up to an enemy that knew they were coming. They were ready and prepared. They had closed off their city completely, and behind those tall walls and those large gates stood an army ready to take on the Israelites, an army ready to fight to the death to defend their city. For the Israelites, many of whom were farmers rather than trained warriors, the thought of going up against a heavily fortified city with an army waiting for them would have seemed like an impossible task. You can almost imagine their cries to God. "You say this is part of your plan, but it just looks too hard, God." We're familiar with some of the cries previously the Israelites had called out to God, particularly in the book of Exodus, where they cried out, "Have you just brought us out of Egypt for us to simply die?" They certainly cried out to God and complained when things were too difficult. And now they are faced with another significant task, what looks to be an impossible barrier. You know, I reckon if I had been there near Jericho, I would have thought the same things. I would have thought it screamed impossible. I certainly would have failed to be optimistic in that situation. And I wonder this morning, have you been through what looks like impossible barriers in your life? Perhaps you're going through something at the moment that seems impossible. Perhaps it's an impossible work situation or a family situation or a health situation. As a church community, I'm sure there'll be times where you will see what looks like impossible barriers as well. Perhaps they're impossible barriers as you seek to connect with your community. Impossible barriers as you seek to grow. Impossible barriers as you try and keep your eyes focused on God. Whatever it may be, if the history of Israel is anything to go by, we should expect what looks like impossible barriers. But I want to say this morning that there is hope. So how do we do it? How do we face these impossible barriers? I want to say that we need to stop using our eyes. Let's be honest, our eyes can be deceiving. Right from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had been told by God not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But then the serpent came along and tempted them. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, it says these words. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for the food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. As she was tempted by that serpent, she looks at the fruit and her eyes deceive her. She took a look at the trees and she saw the fruit just hanging there, and her eyes told her that it was good. Well, as we read on in Genesis 3, we find out how wrong she was, how wrong they both were. And how much their eyes had deceived them. But you know, as we turn back to Joshua, the Lord graciously sets out his vision for them. God doesn't give them a chance to use their own deceiving eyes. But rather, he encourages them to see with his eyes and to see his vision that he has for them. You see, verse 2 says this. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands." Just think about that for a moment. It is as they approach the city of Jericho that God pronounces this victory. It is before they even draw their swords, before they see the enemy, before they scream out a single battle cry, that God tells them that he has already delivered the city of Jericho into their hands. And it makes me realize, it didn't matter how the Israelites looked at Jericho. It didn't matter how well fortified their city was. It didn't matter how prepared the enemy was behind those walls and those gates. Because the reality is, if they tried to look at it with their own eyes, then it would scream defeat. However, verse 2 makes it very clear. It proclaims that if you instead look at it with God's eyes, if they begin to see God's vision, then defeat for the Israelites is not on the agenda. In fact, God has already guaranteed the victory. See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. What a declaration from God that the battle is as good as over all before it has begun. And I wonder, when we come across challenges in our own lives and when change comes upon us, is much of our anxiety the result of our eyes deceiving us, rather than us trying to look through the eyes of God and to see his vision? Because I often find that what God sees and what I see can be two completely different things. And when we look at things through God's eyes, who knows completely all that is going to happen ahead of us, then I want to say there should be no cause for anxiety. There is no reason of being afraid, but rather it calls us to have trust in him. No matter the battle, God's will be done. So whose eyes do you look through? Do you seek out God's vision and look through his eyes? Well, one movie I love is Tomorrow When the War Began. It's a movie that came out about 11 years ago, and when I found out it was 11 years ago, I felt a little bit older, but that's okay. But it's a movie that's based on a book by the same name by John Marsden, I think he is. My wife just said, I think so. Yep, by John Marsden. Excellent. That was one bit I didn't write down. But I've seen this movie so many times, my wife is absolutely sick of the movie. Whilst it's not technically banned in our house, I haven't watched it in a very long time. But for those of you who don't know the movie, it's set in a small coastal town, surrounded by bushland, and it's a story of some young guys and girls, some teenagers, dealing with the fact that an unknown enemy has invaded not only Australia, but invaded their town. And in the movie, these teenagers end up coming together and forming a strong team trying to take on the enemy, and in many ways, they succeed. But one of the things I love about this movie is the fact that it takes an ordinary person, someone that doesn't have all that much experience in life and certainly no experience of warfare, and it sees them rise above all their lack of experience and accomplish some great things. But you know, one thing that the movie shows quite clearly, along with many other movies like it, is that if you're going to go into battle, then you need to make sure you have the right battle plan. You can't just go running in and hoping for the best. And you know, as we look at the Battle of Jericho, we see that it too needed the right battle plan. They couldn't just run in and swords drawn and hope for the best. Now, in the days of Joshua, most of the cities of Palestine were not that large, unlike our cities today. Jericho itself was quite small, and so it was completely achievable to easily walk around it in a day. So despite how well fortified it also wasn't that big of a city. But as we read Joshua 6, we see a very unusual battle plan laid out to Joshua from God. Let's read the unusual battle plan in verses 3 to 5. The Lord says, march around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. You know, to me, with my limited experience of taking troops into battle, okay, I've got no experience of taking troops into battle other than playing Call of Duty on PlayStation, this sounds like an absolutely crazy battle plan, does it not? It's certainly a different battle plan than what a typical army commander might come up with. But we know that it is God here that is giving this battle plan, and he gave it after proclaiming that the victory was already guaranteed. So it's something that the Israelites needed to make sure they listened to. But you know, as we look at this battle plan, we see something quite interesting emerge throughout it. Several times in the battle plan, we see the reference to the number 7. That there are 7 priests, 7 trumpets, the whole battle plan taking place over 7 days. And on the 7th day, walking around the walls of the city 7 times. It's impossible, I think, to read this passage without seeing the repetition of the number 7. Now, one thing the Bible likes to do from time to time is to use symbols and imagery to convey a message. And time again, the number 7 is often used in such a manner. Now, for you and I living in quite a mathematical society, it's hard for us to look at the number 7 as anything other than a count of people or items or of days. But back in Bible times, these sorts of symbols were used as a sort of literary device to convey a message. For example, there's been much debate over Genesis 1 as to whether God created the world in 7 days or whether it was a more of a symbolic thing. Now, I don't think it matters to what your view of Genesis 1 and 2 is, and I don't want to get into discussion about that now, other than to say that the use of the number 7 in Genesis 1 fits in beautifully with the Bible's symbolic use of that number. You see, biblically, the number 7 represents the idea of completion or perfection. And as we read about creation, we see a great deal of perfection and completion in what God did. On the seventh day, God rested. And why was that? Not because he was tired, but because his creative work was complete. It was perfect. And I believe a similar sort of message is getting proclaimed here in Joshua 6. I believe that God is trying to tell the Israelites that he is the same God who went about his perfect creative activities in Genesis 1, who is now working his perfect redemptive activity or recreative activity here in Joshua chapter 6. God's plan here is to bring about a new sort of completeness for the Israelites. You see, God gave them a promise to give them land and a new home and that they would become his nation. And here he is fulfilling that promise. The God who creates is showing himself to also be the God that recreates. And the same is true for you and I. You see, he's calling us to move forward into a sort of new creation as he continues to mold and to shape us as individuals, but also as a church. Sometimes God works in ways that we do not understand. Had the Israelites had have gone off and put their own battle plan together, then they would have most likely failed. And all you need to do is read Joshua chapter 7 to see what happens when they try and do things their own way. But when we are prepared to take a bit of a step back and let God show us and carry out his plans in us, then we are a people that are transformed. No longer are we called to be the sinful, broken people as we once were. But as we place our trust in Jesus, we rest assured that as Jesus hung there on that cross and proclaims the words, "It is finished," or "It is completed," then we rest assured that God has indeed called us to be made new again. The old is gone. The new has come. And so the question this morning is, do you seek out God's battle plan? Do you seek to move forward in the way that God wants you to take, being transformed into the person that he wants you to be? And do you allow him to do his work of recreation within you? You see, we need to be people that rely on God's help and his guidance. And as we do that, as his people, then we will realize pretty quickly that his plans are far better than any plans that you and I could ever dream up. His plans are perfect. His plans are good. Well, to continue a similar theme from all my illustrations this morning, I want to draw your minds to one more movie. Now, don't worry, I don't normally use movies for illustrations, so consider this a special day. Consider yourself lucky. But the movie I want to draw your attention to is a classic. Well, I consider it a classic. Those a bit older than I might have another view of classic movies. But the movie is Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. I love seeing the Indiana Jones movies as a kid because I felt that as I watched them, that I was on an adventure with Indiana Jones, searching through ancient artifacts. And in the movie of the Last Crusade, Indiana Jones' father goes missing as he's searching for the Holy Grail. And so Indiana Jones goes on this adventure, armed with his father's notebook that will tell him all the secrets of the adventure that he was embarking on. However, after he's followed the directions for quite some time in this notebook, he comes to this path in the rocks and comes to what appears to be this giant chasm. In the picture, you'll see that he comes out through this opening and it just is a sheer cliff at his feet. And then quite a distance over, he sees another cliff and a little doorway cut in that cliff. If you've seen the movie, I'm sure you'll know the scene that I'm talking about. What Indiana Jones does is, after realizing that it is way too far for him to jump, and turning around is not an option really, he decides after being sure that he's interpreting the information correctly in his father's journal, because surely his father's never wrong, he decides to take the leap of faith. He places one foot out in front of him and he steps down and surprisingly lands on something solid. His foot landed on a path that he couldn't see was there. His eyes had deceived him. But you know, it required that leap of faith. And you know, as we continue to look at the story of the Israelites here in Joshua chapter 6 and all the chapters beforehand, each step of this journey as they sought to move forward required a leap of faith.
It didn't matter how well they knew about God's vision or his battle plan. The reality is that they needed to take that step of faith and to put it into action. And as they put God's battle plan into action, it says this in verse 20. When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in and they took the city. You see, when they had God's vision, when they were looking at the situation through God's eyes, and when they had God's battle plan, all they needed to do was to step out in faith and see God fight for them. One of my favorite passages in the Bible comes from Exodus chapter 14, in particular verse 14. It's a passage that has been significant to me through some of the struggles of my life. And I've really needed to rest in God and hand over my troubles to him. You see, as the Egyptian army are coming upon the Israelites in Exodus 14 with the sea behind them, they're fearful for their lives and they call out to God. And in verse 14, God responds so graciously. He says, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Then immediately after that, Moses is not given directions just to wait. He isn't given directions to sit back and watch God fight. He isn't given directions to just relax until God's got it all sorted. But rather, as God proclaims to Moses that he will fight for them, God then gives Moses directions to immediately turn towards the water, raise his hands up and start walking. And of course, what we see happens is a miracle. The parting of the seas. The Israelites are able to pass through safely, and then the waters come crashing over the Egyptians, and they are free. Free from the enemy. A great testament to God fighting for them. Well, a similar thing happens in Joshua chapter 4 as well. You see, as they reach the edge of the river Jericho, as the water touches their feet, God holds back the waters and they're able to walk through, not on muddy ground, but they're able to walk through on dry ground. Ground that was once underwater, but God did a miracle, parted the waters and dried the ground, and they were able to walk through. And here in Joshua chapter 6, God is proclaiming yet again, step out in faith, just trust me. I love Joshua 6, that as they so clearly follow the Lord's guiding, as they listen to him and his plans, and as they then follow out his battle plan in faith, they see that the promises that God had given them in verse 2 were absolutely true. "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands." It's an incredible story. The whole book of Joshua is incredible as the people of God seek to be faithful followers, as they seek to listen to the voice of God, as they see his vision, and then as they step forward in faith. As we are called to move forward, we too must be people of faith. You see, God fighting for his people isn't something that just we read about in the pages of Scripture, but it's an incredible truth that we hold to even to this day. God fights for us as his people gathered here at Faith Bible Baptist Church today, and he fights for us in our own personal lives. We have a God who promises to be with us each and every day and to be our great shepherd, but we need to be careful that whenever change comes upon us, whenever we face what seems like impossible barriers, whenever anxiety builds up within us, we need to ensure that we come back to God, seek his vision, ask him for his plans, and then we need to be prepared to step out in faith, knowing that he has already granted us the victory. And you know what? I get excited when I see people begin to take hold of these truths. And we eagerly await to see what God is going to do. But the challenge is, will you step out in faith and allow God to work his change in you? "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands." Let us pray. Father God, we thank you so much for these words. Thank you so much that we have the ability to read them and to be able to see about your faithfulness throughout history and know that these are truths, your faithfulness are truths for even today. There will be times where we have challenges in life. There will be times where things are really tough. But help us to be able to see with your eyes, be able to see your vision. Help us to be able to listen to your voice and to the plans that you have and how we should move forward. And then, Father, help us to have boldness to step out into faith, knowing that you've already granted the victory. Continue to speak to us, Father. Continue to move within us. Continue to shape and mold us as your people. Continue to stretch our faith, Father God. We want to be more like you. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you love us so much that you would speak to us and to use us in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.